You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Our next segment is Ask a Pastor, and we do have the good pastor. Pastor Joseph Farah is on the line. Good afternoon, Pastor. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. We missed you yesterday. What happened to you yesterday? We missed you yesterday, Pastor.
Yesterday, we had a challenge with network connectivity.
Okay, okay.
It was only restored around 4 p.m.
All right, all right. So do you mind if I ask you both questions today, yesterday's question and today's question? Is that okay?
That is okay.
All right, I'm going to start with today's question, and then after that, I'll go to our next question from before yesterday. Is that all right?
No, that's okay.
All right. So our question for today is, how do you approach someone who feels they've committed too many sins to be forgiven?
Okay, so this one is quite an interesting. This one is an interesting question because this person is coming to you with a mind where they have judged themselves harshly, probably already.
Yeah.
And they feel there's nothing for me. And so they feel so, so worthless. But then when they come, you need to be extremely sensitive because they feel they are out of the race.
Yeah.
So it is extremely important that you treat them with a serious caution.
Okay.
And then because I'm always seeing this type of a question from the counseling point of view.
Right.
And so I want to believe that when they come to meet you or to see you in confidence, usually they come in confidence.
Right.
Yeah. So when they come, initially, it's just good practice that you are seen to listen actively to them,
right,
as they narrate their problems. You make them actually feel you are interested in what they are saying,
right?
And that as you listen to them, you do not seem like, you know, like even you have judged them.
Right, right.
You have written them off.
Mm.
Like you give interjections like, really? How do you do that?
No, you didn't.
You didn't. Don't tell me that you did such a thing, you know?
Yes.
So they would not open up much. Right. And besides that, when they come, they know that you are a board chairman.
Right.
You know, you are a church board chairman. And so that information they're giving you,
right,
it is not to be used against them.
At
whatever point, you know, because they came to you because they want help.
Mm.
They are vulnerable. And they don't know whether there's any thread of hope that they can hold on to.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that's a starting point. Listen well. Do not judge them.
Right.
You know, make them feel comfortable.
Mm.
Not comfortable in their sin.
Of course, of course.
but let them know to say there's room for them.
Right,
you know,
right.
You can listen to them. And then help them, you know, accordingly.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And are there sins that are greater than other sins? Is it such that people would behold the view that they have sinned too much?
Of course. In our understanding that all sins are the same.
Yeah.
But in practice or in reality, there are some sins we have committed and we are very comfortable.
Okay.
We, you know, like things like telling lies.
Okay.
You can tell a lie and you are comfortable. Your heart does not even move a bit.
Mm. With a straight face.
Yes.
You even cry and say, I'm telling the truth. Yay!
Meanwhile, you are lying.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and even the issue of keeping the Sabbath, you know, we have a good number of Adventists who even work on the Sabbath, and they'll give you justification to say, hey, this is the only job available, and, you know, God blessed me with this one, so
hey.
I think this is the only way I can help my family.
Right.
And we are comfortable with that.
Mm.
You know, then there are some of those now sins that probably border on morality. I mean, not really morality, because morality is everything.
Yes, right.
But there are those that border on maybe sexual sins,
mm.
you know, where you sleep with somebody's wife,
hey.
You sleep with somebody's husband,
hey.
You know, you terminate a pregnancy, and somebody said, you know, I usually have conversations with these young people, and some have said, you see, condoms and these abortion pills have kept a lot of people in good and regular standing.
Hey, yo, 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 you're throwing bombs today, Mbundis. Yo, 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 yo. Okay, okay, Mbundis. All right, okay. Let's move on to yesterday's question. Yeah. So yesterday's question, Mbundis, was talking about leaders. I'm going to read it as it is. Should spiritual leaders be allowed to express doubts about their own faith? I'm going to give you how I expounded on that question, but I want to hear your answer first. Go ahead.
Okay. One thing we need to understand is that to start with, you are a human being first before you are a spiritual leader. But then once you respond to a call, because for you to be a spiritual leader, you must be able to respond to a call. It should be out of your conviction that God has called you to serve in that capacity. Now, as you become a leader, you must also understand that you are God's representative. And if you are God's representative, you must have a very good conviction,
right,
about your faith. You must have a good reason why you are an Adventist. You must have a good reason why you are a Christian. And when you have that conviction in terms of your deportment, your demeanor to the public,
right?
If you are able to show your doubts, it means you are doubting in the faith that you profess to live by.
I hear you.
You know. If I were to cite examples of people like Martin Luther, they were so convinced in what they believed, to a point where even if it meant that they should die, it was okay.
Okay.
They were going to die, and he even gave a statement to say, if you have not yet found something to die for, then your belief or your cause is not worth it.
Okay. Okay. So yesterday, as I was trying to connect with you, I was asking the question, and I expounded in my mind. My mind quickly ran to scripture, and I was thinking, there was once a righteous man in the land of Uz. His name was Job. He was an upright man, and no sin was found in him. He would go and sacrifice for his children, saying, maybe they have committed a sin. But when hardship hit Job, he started to doubt. When a hardship started hit, he started blaming God and did not believe that the God who blessed him could be the very same God that is cursing him. He wanted to go back to his mother's womb. He cursed the day he was born. Was he allowed? Was he right by expressing that doubt? We have Jonah. Jonah was called by God. Instead of going to Nineveh, he went to Tarshish, doubting the righteousness of God. Quite frankly, he was thinking, you can't be a God, my God, and still you want to save those people in Tarshish, in Nineveh. You want me to go and preach to them so they can convert, and then you don't punish them. No, you're not a just God. He doubted God's justice. Was he wrong for expressing, for having that debate? He, under that shrub, when the shrub shrunk and was withered by the sun, he had a conversation with God. He said, I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to forgive these people. Why? He doubted God's justice. Was he wrong for doubting God's justice? We have David himself, who writes Psalms expressing just how much he is doubting. But then again, he goes back to write Psalms to say, even if though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear. No, was he wrong? Was David wrong for expressing doubt? Moses, the man who wrote the Pentateuch, the written Torah, many times he doubted. Even the second time when he struck the rock, he was doubting that the water would come out with just talking. So he decided, I am going to hit it the same way I hit it. I know hitting works. This talking thing, I'm not quite sure it's going to work, this thing. Was he wrong for expressing doubt? Even Jesus, Mfundis, Jesus himself, he was the member of the Godhead. When they decided we are going to kick Lucifer out and he's going to go to earth, and when he arrives at earth, he's going to disturb the woman, and the woman is going to be taken up and seduced, and then he's going to infect the whole world. Who is going to go down? Jesus himself said, I will go. Huh? From eternity past, he knew that he is going there. But when he was born 33 years on earth, Mfundis. He knew that I am born for this. I am born to die. Eh? I'm not born to live up until retirement. No. I am born to die. But the night before his death, he came and changed his mind. Lord, let this cup pass.
If it is your will.
Let this cup pass from me. If it is your will, let this cup pass. Eh? From eternity past, for thousands and thousands and millions of eternities, he knew I am going to die on such and such a time. I'm going to die. But when the crunch came, when the pen hit the paper, he couldn't write that book. He asked the Lord even when he was hanging on the cross of Funis. He said, Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. He was doubting that the Lord was truthful when he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So those were the questions that ran to my mind. And I was thinking, hey, I'm looking for Pastor Joseph Farah to come and answer this one for me. Please, Mfundisi.
These are beautiful scenarios that you have put in place.
Right,
now,
right.
There's one thread that needs... There's one thread that needs all these pieces together,
right?
And it's the reality of the great controversy. It's the reality of humanity in us and our weakness.
Yeah,
you know. And it's part of us. It's human.
Absolutely.
For us to express, even John the Baptist.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
After being so adamant. Yes.
And you went and asked him, is he the real one? You're right, Vinny.
But he's the same guy he introduced earlier to say, behold,
the Lamb of God.
The Lamb of God.
But that's right.
Is he the one?
Absolutely.
Or we should wait for another.
Yes.
You see,
yes.
when the rubber meets the tarmac.
Hey, Mfundisi.
These things happen.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, our conviction and our belief in God is seen, the bedrock of our conviction is that we understand that God is with us, even
right.
when we don't feel him.
Right, right, right.
Actually, we don't even need to feel him to have the assurance that he is with us.
Yeah.
You know, he is with us. So can a leader show weakness? Yes. The leader can show weakness,
but then
the conviction should be God is our strength.
That's right.
You know, God is our strength, and that is why he says, let's exchange.
Mm.
Take my yoke.
It
is light.
Yeah.
And then I will give you strength. And Paul again says, even if we are toasted to and fro. We are crushed, but we are not in a despair.
Absolutely.
You know, we are kicked in all these things, but we don't give up.
Yeah,
we are buried, but we are not forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, but in all these things, we know that the strength, the grace of God is sufficient in our weakness.
Yeah.
So showing doubt is a human weakness.
Yeah.
And it also shows human reality.
Right, right.
That on our own we are frail.
Yeah.
We are inadequate.
Right.
But we need the hand of God.
Yeah.
That never fails. The hand that gave Moses a second chance.
Yeah.
You know? And the one who answered, Jonah when he was. And by the way, Jonah is justified.
Yeah.
I wish we had time.
Yeah.
I could have hinted something that could have, blown the minds of the hearers.
Okay.
On why Jonah took that position.
Right. Right.
Permit me if I have a minute.
Go ahead. A minute, please. Go ahead.
You see, the people of Nineveh, the people of Assyria, those right. who existed at the time of Jonah.
Right.
By the way, history records that these were the first barbarians.
Okay.
These are the people who introduced the idea of colonialism. They are the first ones who made everybody speak Aramaic,
right.
including Jesus himself. These are people who who invented the killing methods
hey.
That were so fierce Whoa. To a point where they could get one person and tie him to four horses. And then within a second, they split that person in quarters.
Oh, no.
And they could use a drum with water and make you drink until your lungs collapse.
Yo, yo, yo.
And then when Jonah was told to say, "That is your destination," he says, "Over my dead body."
Okay.
I would rather commit suicide and be thrown in the water
yeah.
than be killed by those people who have no appreciation of God.
Right, right.
So when doubt comes, it comes from the point of fear.
Right, right.
You know, we are overwhelmed with fear. But, the scriptures tell us that cast all your fears, cast all your burdens on him who cares. And I think that could be the best way to go.
Okay.
So do we? I think tomorrow I'll share something recent that
okay.
happened 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I was met by a chief. Let me even lower myself,
okay.
my voice, but we'll pick it up from there tomorrow.
Okay. All right, I got it. Thank you very much for your time and your insights and your patience. No. We'll talk tomorrow once again. Have a wonderful day.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. That's Pastor Joseph Farah, our Ask a Pastor for this week.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.